go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go, another broadcast week begins at the horn, this being a rather special week, and it begins on a special day, yes indeed. This is the horn, headonradionetwork.com is our home, and that's where you will find, among other things, access to the horn chat room, yes, which I'm entering right now. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And of course, in that chat room, as he has been for ever so many evenings over the course of the years, Third Stage Guild Navigator, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, and moderator of the Horn Malloy Skype chat group, Sparky, whose birthday it is today, the 19th day of October, 2015. Yes, indeed. Like I said, it's going to be a special week at the Horn. For those of you who are capable of doing math on the fly, well, Sparky, I'll make you do math on the fly. That's my job around here, dang it. Sparky is 64 today. Happy 64th birthday, Sparky. Folks will be wandering along presently into the chat room. You know, we don't stand on ceremony here, pass out demerits or keep anybody in from recess if they're late to the chat room. People will be wandering by. And Sparky has, for this 64th birthday of his, put together a special When I'm 64 birthday challenge at the Horn. And I cannot tell you how touched I am. It's delightfully kind. So, in honor, this is the Hobbit approach to birthdays. You give stuff instead of get stuff on your birthday if you're a Hobbit. So, Sparky is putting forward a challenge. I have a show on me, as a matter of fact. A $200 challenge this evening for anyone who will respond so that we reach the $200 fundraising goal for any given evening. But there's a hitch. There's a condition. Responses to the challenge need to come in combinations of the numbers 10, 19, 51, Sparky's age, 64, or 24, which is the Horn's birthday. See how it works? So maybe you might send in $64.19, or $24.10, something like that. That's how the Sparky's When I'm 64 birthday challenge works. And hopefully we'll get enough folks in there to meet the challenge, and bang! Sparky will celebrate his birthday by taking care of an evening's fundraising here at the Horn. Thank you, Sparky. Thank you so very kindly. And, you know, I think everybody who reaches the age of 64, you know, really does deserve, well, this.
When I get older, losing my hair, many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me, will you still feed me, when I'm 64? your lights have gone. You can knit a sweater by the fireside. Sunday mornings go for a ride. Doing the garden, digging the weeds. Who could ask for more? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Every summer we can rent a cottage in the Isle of Wight if it's not too dear. We shall scrimp and save. Grandchildren on your knee. Vera, Chuck and Dave. Send me a postcard, drop me a line, stating point of view. Indicate precisely what you mean to say. You're sincerely wasting away. Give me your answer, fill in a form, mine forevermore. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Yes, indeed. The Beatles, of course, When I'm 64. One of few songs out there about being 64, which is fine. I've even got a different version of that too. I really do. Maybe we'll double down on When I'm 64 later in the program. So happy birthday, Sparky. Happy birthday indeed. Many happy returns. And thank you for your kindness and all that you've done for the horn over, yea, verily, these many, many years. And 10 years, I mean, 10 years is a lot of years. I mean, it's a lot of years to do, you know, one particular thing, or I don't know. But we're going to be 10, and I mention it because the actual anniversary falls on a Saturday this year. So, we'll celebrate it either Friday or Monday, or maybe Friday and Monday. Who knows? But there it is, Sparky's When I'm 64 Birthday Challenge. Have a show on me. It is on the table. Sparky's looking for people to donate $10, contribute, you know, $10.24 or $19.51 or $51.64. All kinds of combinations out there for your consideration. It was a lovely weekend in Mount Colby gone. No, we're not going to do that. But it really was a lovely weekend this past, albeit kind of damn cold. We got us a cold snap here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan, while other folks were getting poured on. Hi, Southern California, but y'all were glad to see the rain, right? Except for all of that crumbling infrastructure problem and everything. But that's okay. If we can elect Bernie Sanders president, we'll get right on that infrastructure thing. Anybody else? Nah, not so much. I mean, after all, who needs infrastructure when you're a Republican, right? Yeah, right. It was lovely. The youngins came over, and by youngins I mean our eldest daughter and her husband, my son-in-law, and their youngins, and we went off to Bridge Day, and it was a lot of fun. Although attendance was down this year, the number of jumpers was down significantly because the paranoids who run the thing were all worried that Osama bin Laden was going to try to rise from the grave and sneak up onto the platform and jump off the New River Gorge Bridge with a parachute and a bomb. Kaboom! Only, no, it didn't happen. But wanting the biometric data and all of that stuff put a lot of people, you know, your base jumpers generally aren't your big-time authoritarians in the first place, being as how most of the things that they jump off of, it's illegal to jump off of. But it was still fun. We had a wonderful time walking around with the youngins, and the littlest one jumped out of the car and said, "I get to walk with Opa. I want to walk with Opa." And so we walked together. Quite a wind out on the bridge. But a beautiful view, although the colors haven't really begun to change here. Maybe that cold snap will be what it took. Takes. Tooken. Whatever. And we'll start seeing some colors, but yeah, too late. Can't walk out on the bridge and see them now. But it was a lovely weekend, and spent a lot of time together. And well, I looked at Agnes as we were walking toward the bridge, and it is a hike. It really is. Nearest you're going to get is about 2 miles. So that's a lot to ask little legs to do, but they were troopers, and they were intrepid about it. No complaining. And so we took the hike, and at one point I looked back at Agnes, and I said, "You know, sometimes it only takes 52 years to figure out the real definition of happiness. Because I think I was experiencing it right then and there." The hands of a couple of beaming little people in mine. Me moderating my steps. So I'm not just... Because I usually take pretty long strides. And just, you know, ambling along with them. And the looks of absolute bliss on their faces. Yeah. Robert Frost was right. Happiness makes up in height for what it lacks in length. Thank you, Thomas, for getting us started. Let's see. $80.49 to go. Thomas figured it right out, $19.51. So $180.49 to go on Sparky's birthday challenge. Thank you very much. It is, of course, Moran Monday on the horn. Oh, yes. But I wanted to make sure that we took care of the birthday greetings part of this before we started talking about Morans, so that there wouldn't be any crossover or cross-contamination. Right? Yeah. And like Michelangelo stumbling into a quarry of the purest marble, we have, a richness. We have a magnificence of Morans this evening. Truly, we do. We really, really do. It's... Wow, it's just breathtaking, really. And so, therefore, let's fire up the... Wait, is Tim back from camping? Tim, are you back from camping? Let's fire up the Calliope. Darn Skippy, the Calliope. Let's fire up the Calliopes and start, herding the Morans through the chute, shall we?
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
That's right, it's Moran Monday on the horn. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will not believe your ears. You will not believe any of your senses when you have beheld in one form or another the moranity that exists behind this thin cybernetic veil
of cybernetic virtual canvas. It's More In Monday on the Horn, and we've got them all. Oh, we have every last kind, every conceivable variety. We have birchers, deathers, booger eaters, birth ninthers, tenthers, death. Oh, my goodness gracious. We've got, oh, the John, oh, and the libertarians. Oh, the humanity. That's right. Every kind of moran under the sun is right here at the Moran Monday tent. You can't tell the morans without a program. And this is the program that tells the morans. You just can't tell them much. Yes, indeed, as you step into the Moran Monday tent, we do advise people to be especially careful of their purses, their wallets, their European messenger bags, their children, their pets, various and sundry small animals like the iguana that you won throwing ping pong balls at a goldfish bowl down there. Amazingly, luckily, surprisingly, yes, do be careful because the morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits and morans. And we're going to start for this here Moran Monday. Oh, yes, we're going to start, well, charity begins at home, as they say, and so too, I suppose, the morans. Heath Harrison has the story over at WVABLUE.com. Uh-huh. And this is going to be a special, I mean, this is a special kind of stupid. This is, post-Bridge Day Fayette County, West Virginia stupid. I mean, we're talking about a guy with a law degree. We're talking about a guy who gets to walk into courtrooms and argues cases and stuff and somehow manages not to just be transported in fits of tongue speaking and stuff. Naturally, we're talking about a Republican. Birther, deather, tenther, ninther, bagger, booger eater. He's probably all of those things at the same time. Oh, yeah. We're talking about... Hold on. And don't get ahead of yourself, bub. We're talking about a particular point of fact. My member of, I mean, not, don't, perverts, we're talking about the guy who represents me in the House of Delegates of the West Virginia State Legislature. Uh-huh. His name is Thomas Fast. And I guess there's a reason, because he, among other things, plays fast and loose with the facts. Now, for some reason or another, WOAY, which is a TV station in Oak Hill, West Virginia, been on the air forever, really bad at the whole broadcasting thing, bless their hearts. They try so hard. Once upon a time, back before cable got around here, they were the only game in town. They were the only signal that you could get, and there, you turn it in and play with the rabbit ears, and it's a little fuzzy and crackles, and then it comes in, and there it is! Live wrestling from WOAY-TV! Mm-hmm. Nowadays, they tend to hire young people coming out of journalism school who are willing to work for just about minimum wage in order to be a TV news anchor. Price of success, I suppose. But David Miller, over at WOAY-TV, asked Republican delegate Tom Fast, more on him in a little bit, because it's Moran Monday, asked him to give an interview. We're going to the hockey puck early this evening, friends and neighbors, because you're going to want it real bad, that hockey puck. Because Thomas Fast knows something about that one in our White House that you don't. You know, the Kenyan, you slurper. Uh-huh. And so since WOAY is the local news source for this region, Well, he's explaining it all. Let's check in now. Now that we've got the hockey puck and the duct tape, let's check in now with David Miller. Shall we do let's?
Why does the state of West Virginia hate President Obama? Is it because he's a Democrat, or maybe because he supports universal health care? Is it that he supports gay marriage, or maybe because he's black?
If I had to pick, that would be A, B, C, and D, right? Well, we'll start with D, maybe C, possibly A, but no, I don't think B is actually in the running there, bub, because he doesn't support universal single-payer health care. I mean, do you just get to make stuff up over there at the for-profit media, WAY-TV? I don't know. If President Barack Obama supported universal single-payer health care, wouldn't you like to think that maybe by now we'd have universal single-payer health care instead of this deeply profitized scheme that we have that pumps lots and lots and lots and lots of corporate welfare into the coffers of the for-profit insurance companies who make tons and tons and tons of money off of you getting sick? Yeah, that's what I thought. So anyway.
Or maybe because many in the Mountain State believe that he's a Muslim. In a state once dominated by the Democratic Party, West Virginia has always remained conservative at heart by voting with Christian beliefs at the forefront of their values and culture. In the eyes of many, the president's support of climate responsibility continues to promote the destruction of West Virginia's economy.
Huh? What? Continues to promote the destruction of West Virginia's economy. Because, you know, that's his goal. And you don't even want to think about the comments section. Sweet Jesus. Yeah, let's keep going.
West Virginia ranks among the worst in the country in every negative category measured, including unemployment, obesity, education, and even internet access. Fayette County.
Okay, so here's the red meat. Fayette County Delegate Tom Fast. Oh, the idea that this guy gets to cast a vote on anything in the legislature in my name just kind of makes me throw up in the back of my throat a little bit. Sorry about that. I know it's dinner for a lot of people. Sheesh.
House of Delegate Member Tom Fast, representing the 32nd District, is standing firm in his belief that the president is a Muslim.
Do you believe the president is a Muslim?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
And can you just tell me why you believe that?
You know, there's, again, you will know them by their fruit.
Okay. You will know them by their fruit. Anybody? Well, I guess we've got a little job for tonight. Yeah. We've got to come up. Hey, Michael in Madison, you're really good at this. We got to come up with a list of Muslim fruit, because as my God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian delegate puts it, he knows Barack Obama is a Muslim by his Muslim fruit. What? Is that any fruit that grows in a country where there are Muslims? Or do the Muslims actually have to cultivate the fruit? Jesus Christ, are there Muslims working in the orange groves in Florida? It's worse than we thought. Or maybe there's secret Muslims who are picking tomatoes. Dear God, we're under attack. Well, maybe we'll get some clarity here from Delegate Fast, our first Moran of the evening.
has bowed to a Muslim king, I believe, in Saudi Arabia.
Wait. We got to get all of that. Let's go back to the first one.
Do you believe the president is a Muslim?
Yes.
Oh, wait, okay, I wasn't even thinking about that. Jack in Shreveport. Dates! Dates are a Muslim fruit. Okay.
Yes.
And can you just tell me why you believe that?
You know, there's, again, you will know them by their fruit. He has bowed to a Muslim king, I believe, in Saudi Arabia.
Doesn't that mean George Bush is a secret Muslim, too? Because he done kissed one full on the mouth! I don't think you get to kiss Muslims on the mouth without you become a Muslim, do you? Allahu Akbar and all of that, and there is no God but God, and Muhammad's his prophet, and now I'm going to kiss you on the mouth! Because, and they walked, I mean, can you help but become a Muslim when you go a-walking through the bluebells down in Crawford, Texas, a-holding hand in hand with the Saudi king? Or is it just the bowing? Yes, we have confirmation here coming from Brother Deacon Asa. Muslim fruits equal dates. Mm-hmm. So we got the bowing down. Lying down, see what I did there? Yeah. I am a professional broadcaster.
He's known to quote the Quran for religious authority.
Fast believes the president is a Muslim, but also believes that the president uses Muslim hand signals in photos.
I just...
Hey, you know what? Oh, no. I gotta give big props to up-and-coming young journalist David Miller of WOAY for being able to say that without giggling. That is a true indicator of professional journalism credibility. Muslim secret hand signs. Oh, and by the way, let's all become secret Muslims like President Obama. I'm just looking here. I just typed in Quran verses. Okay. Hey, I got one. I'll start. There is no compulsion in religion. I think that's almost right at the very beginning of the Quran. Well, there I am, Bob Kincaid, secret Muslim. Or maybe it's time to start using that name they gave me back when I was doing way more than 10 years ago now. Use that name that they gave me in Beckley. Bob Al-Kincaida. Huh? Kind of got a ring to it, doesn't it? Don't you think? Let's see. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Oh, wait. Let's see. 10 years, you know, it gets stuck. Hi, I'm Bob Al-Kincaida. Reproductive freak. There is no compulsion in religion. Meanwhile, Ron in the Unfrozen North notes, "Damn it, Bob, I didn't have many dates in high school. Hard to believe, I know, but I would hate to think they're responsible for my middling high opinion of that one." Different kind of dates there. Right. I don't know, maybe it does. But anyway, secret hand signs.
And you will know them by their fruit. He has bowed to a Muslim king, I believe, in Saudi Arabia. He's known to quote the Quran for religious authority.
Fast believes the president is a Muslim, but also believes that the president uses Muslim hand signals in photos.
I just saw a photograph the other day where he was with several Muslim leaders, and he gave a sign with his hand and his finger that is known in the Muslim community that means there is only one God, Allah.
Well, I'll be dipped. And there I was thinking that was the secret lodge sign. You know, just kind of unobtrusive, like, no, too high. Yeah, there we go, like that. Secret hand signs for Allah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, as we ponder what an absolute horse's ass Thomas Fast is, what a monumental work in ignorance he is. Let's remember that he is serving in the West Virginia legislature in the House of Delegates. Which means that people voted him into the House of Delegates. So once you get there, you have to start asking the essential questions. Did the people who were voting for him actually know that he was this stupid? Because, you see, anyone who thinks that President Obama is a secret Muslim who gives secret Muslim hand signs with a hand and a finger, and I'm still trying to figure out what the... Is it one finger on one hand, or is it like with the old Dr. Ruth bit on Saturday Night Live where the index finger and the thumb form a circle and the index finger of the other hand and you have to stop? I don't know. I'd certainly like to show this guy a hand sign involving one finger, and maybe the next time I get somewhere near him, I will. Remember when Barack Obama was out there flashing gang signs too? How do you learn? Where do you go to learn all these hand signs, and how does he have time to even talk? Oh God. There's nobody in their right mind who thinks that Jesus. And frankly, and see, here's the part where being a lawyer comes into play. Thomas Fast is a lawyer, and should at least therefore be passingly familiar with a little passage in the Constitution of the United States, which says, "There shall be no test for the holding. There shall be no religious test for the holding of office in the United States." Now, granted, it's a little bit more arcane, but there's also, John Adams. The United States is in no wise founded upon the Christian religion, etc., etc. Or, as we in West Virginia like to type it in message boards, ECT. ECT, yes. So we have a secret hand sign involving a hand and a finger.
And I saw it myself. So you just take all these things into consideration.
Yeah, he's sitting here on camera. I'm looking at the video. You're listening to the audio. I mean, show us the hand sign. Oh, no, you can't, Delegate Thomas K. Fast, because then you, too, would be a secret Muslim. Well, we've got another... Thank you. Michael in Madison is there for us. Michael says, I was going to say pomegranates. They're cultivated in the Middle East and North Africa and parts of Asia. Even Indonesia! Woo! Scary! They're pretty trendy these past 7 years. Pomegranate-flavored everything everywhere now. Thanks, Obama! You don't think that's a coincidence, do you, Michael? I don't know. Jack in Shreveport, Delegate Fast, subject line. Hand signals? A fatal error occurred. Puck ejected. Anyway, Fast Bastard is really pissing me off. He's trying to get West Virginia looking stupider than Louisiana. There was an asterisk after Fast Bastard. That would be your Austin Powers-ish reference. Mm-hmm. I like that, Fast Bastard. That's very nice. But you notice that Delegate Fast has seen it himself. Now, Delegate Fast is a teabagger. I mean, he's a booger eater of the crunchiest variety. Yep, there went dinner for a couple of more horn listeners. Sorry, I'm on a roll. Well, better that than the booger, but... Oh! But he is. He's a birth or death or ninth or tenth or bagger booger eater. And so one wonders where he would ever be in the same place to see Barack Obama if gay the old and hey ein say for being an Uslam may. Meanwhile, up in the unfrozen north, Ron points out, I recognize the concept of taking the high ground and ignoring political comments. However, it would be a pleasant surprise if occasionally the president, as an individual, sued the ass right off of idiots like Fast for slander, especially when they speak outside the House. It would only take a couple of cases to send the message. But the money. Anyway, he's seen them hand signals himself. Okay, are we there? Yeah.
You know, that's his business. But yes, I believe he's of the Muslim faith.
Fast is using religion and his Christian beliefs as a means to pass legislation. Delegate Fast believes that the United States was founded on the basis of Christianity, and West Virginia and the country should...
Did he say Christianity? Because if he did, he just nailed one.
Once again, put Christian values and their teachings at the forefront of government.
I firmly believe that marriage should be between one man and one woman. And
at a time, at least. Because, mind you, in the year that he's been in the legislature, Delegate Fast has yet to introduce a bill banning divorce, which his Christian faith says will send you straight to hell. Not divorce, not the banning of it. I mean, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, he did the banning part.
That is set forth in the Holy Scriptures, and that's the other reason why I have maintained my allegiance to the Republican Party.
It was John Adams who said at the Treaty of Tripoli, as government of the United States is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion.
Oh, score.
The First Amendment of the United States Constitution states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. But Delegate Fast does not believe in separation of church and state in government.
The separation of church and state is something that, as you probably know, was came out of a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote years ago. It's not in our Constitution. You can't find that.
Thomas Jefferson said our civil rights have no dependence on religion. Delegate Fast does sit on industry and labor committees, judiciary, and roads and transportation, all of which hold significant importance to West Virginia's economy and unemployment. With Delegate Fast holding back possible job growth rather through companies such as Uber or Tesla, religion and separation of which from government will continue to be a key issue on the 2016 ballot. For Newswatch, I'm David Miller.
Thank you, David Miller. I don't think he intended it as such, but that thing almost turned out to be a little hit piece on Delegate Fast. Now, just real quick, I'm not going to go into the gory details on this because it's nasty. All that business about marriage being between a man and one man and one woe man. Mm-hmm. He lives his creed every day because he used his power as a lawyer to step in and yank a newborn out of foster care because the two foster parents were women's. It was disgusting. It was sickening. The man should have been disbarred for his actions. and it had to go all the way to the Supreme Court of the state of West Virginia before the justices said, you know, sit down and shut up and put the baby back where the baby's being loved. So now the couple are desperately trying to adopt the child. And Delegate Fast is getting paid. Cashes that check every 2 weeks. Right as rain. And here's the fun part. You know what the chances are of this man being getting his sorry ass bounced out of the House of Delegates? Almost nil. Because even though I live in a pretty neat little community, I mean, if you count Fayetteville, where you've got these funky little restaurants that are doing all this great work, and you've got the you've got the whole whitewater rafting tourism, ecotourism adventures kind of industry. This county is still pretty much made up of people who think just like he does. Really? Mm-hmm. Now, the whole state, mind you, this being Morion Monday, is fairly losing its mind over the fact that, you know, the Kenyan Muslim usurper is a-coming to West Virginia. It just gets worse and worse and worse as the weirdos get weirder and weirder and weirder. Just for the fun of it, we are going to take a quick. Everybody got your hip waders on? Yeah. We'll take a quick hike into the comments swamp. Just because, why not? It's Morion Monday, and well, there's a lot of morons hiding there. Oh, let's see. Obama is not a good person in general. He has done nothing to help or make America better off. He will be the downfall of America, not because of the color of his skin. He's not black, by the way, but because he is Muslim. Mm-hmm. Now, that was Christy Crowder Boyer. And here's Andy Schaefer Big Red. Interesting name, Andy. Or maybe he is the reason for West Virginia's high unemployment rate. I know Obama was against coal mining and mountaintop removal. This state is a poor man's state. The coal mining industry is the only thing holding our economy together. Well, it was until Obama took over as president. I'm for coal. And any president that is against coal mining, then I'm against them. Interesting. For a president who's opposed to mountaintop removal, he sure hasn't done a damn thing to slow it down. Just saying, not saying, just saying. Then there's Keith Stanley offering the middle road. I don't care if a person is black, white, Hispanic, Asian, purple, green, or blue. If they are elected to be president, they should take care of the people in the country that elected him. Him. Obama has not did this. He was put us in a downward spiral headed straight to hell. I don't agree. Just read the King James Bible. Yeah, I know this is a little tough, isn't it? as Carol notes, and that would be Carol Al Shishkabaker. Hip waiters, I need a fucking hazmat suit for this. Yeah, you really do. William Sneed says he hates coal and making WV a worse welfare state than it was when he got voted in. Here's a picture of Barack and Michelle, again by Christy Crowder Boyer. They've brought nothing to this country except disease, disgrace, lies and deceit, racial division, hatred, huckstering, socialism, poverty, world embarrassment, a poor health care system, tyranny, and economic downfall. Mm-hmm. Karen Lawson says, I say bravo to Tom Fast for standing up as a Christian and a supporter of our Constitution. Thank you, Tom. Now let's do something about getting Common Core out of our schools. If you want to know a little more about Common Core in West Virginia, you might want to check in with Dr. Bill earlier today. His podcast is already up. Oh, and here's Carlos Dominguez quoting Vladimir Putin. Any fourth grade history student knows socialism has failed in every country at every time in history. President Obama and his Democrats are either idiots or deliberately trying to destroy their own economy. Because I'm sure Putin said that. Mm-hmm. More and Monday. I do love it so. Oh, and the number is Steve in New York. Obama and Fig Newtons. Ooh, and it's a picture of Barack Obama giving a single-fingered hand sign that says, "Give that woman a Fig Newton." Yeah, they grow figs over there. Them Muslims do too, I think, because they's referenced about in the Bible. Marty says, secret Muslim hand signals? Is this delegate certain he's not watching the NFL? Could he really be referring to Peyton Manning? No wonder he's having an off year. So we were at $180.49 in meeting Sparky's When I'm 64 Have a Show on Me challenge this evening. And I am proud to say that Carol has since reduced it. Oh, I think there's going to be... Yeah, okay, that's five. And oh, dear, we're going to have to borrow again. That's a seven, so it's a, and that's an aught. $170.79. No, that ain't right. $160. See, I always mess up when you have to borrow from the next number, but the next number is zero, so you got to borrow two from the one beyond that. I have not got that down yet, and I've been working on it since about third grade. So $170 and 75, 160, damn it! $160 and 75 cents to go. Thank you, Jeremy in Vermont. Late, but loud and clear on TuneIn. Well, better late than never, Jeremy. Thank you. So we are off and running on the When I'm 64 Sparky's birthday challenge for this More in Monday. You know, I don't fully understand what it is with right-wingers and cartoons. it goes back to Donald Wildman being upset about Bugs Bunny, and then Jerry Falwell got upset about Tinky Winky. He carries a purse, brethren and sistren, and is purple, and his symbol is a triangle, the symbol of all the Homer sectionals. And then Brother Dobson got upset about SpongeBob SquarePants. Well, his best friend's pink. He's also a starfish, James. Take your Aricept, buddy. Well, we got a new cartoon character to be upset about. Captain America is now black. Yeah, and over to the Fox and Friends. That ain't playing well at all with them. Let's check in, shall we?
All right, we have news from the comic book world, and we're going to let the expert on this subject take it away. Clayton, what's going on?
Well, you know, comic books have been struggling over the past few years, Tucker, because more and more Americans are going to see movies. They're going to Marvel movies, of course, to see the Avengers, and so comic books have been struggling to get readership, and here you have Marvel doing a little bit of a PR stunt. In fact, they've made Sam Wilson, who was formerly the Falcon, he's an African-American, he's taking over as Captain America now, but he's got a new odd enemy. Instead of going against Hydra and the typical Captain America villains, he's going up against conservatives. That's his new enemy.
And here's a quote from the book of the series. Attention, all trespassers. I am the supreme serpent. By invading this sovereign land, you defy the laws of God, nature, and the United States Constitution. Therefore, I hereby apprehend you by the power vested in me by the aforementioned God, nature, etc., etc.
So who?
Yeah, but they misspelled et cetera. They spelled it ETC when we all know it's ect. Carol says, you swore. My work here is done. Marty wants to know, why was the original Donald Wildman so upset about Bugs? He was concerned about violence. And about the fact that we were all going to go and start dynamiting our school teachers and so forth, and blowing up their head, you know, just like Bugs with the monster in their chest. Well, oh my stars, such an interesting monster! An interesting monster needs an interesting hairdo. Oh, that's never going to do. You're going to need a permanent, and then puts dynamite in the monster's hair. And well, Donald Wildman was worried that we were going to do that, or drop an anvil on somebody, or wear Acme rocket skates, or take earthquake pills or something like that. Thanks, Obama. So over to the Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. There are bad guys. There is a bad guy who is called the Supreme Serpent. And with no prodding whatsoever, because the guy is against undocumented immigrants, with no prodding whatsoever, Fox News TV Radio Rwanda explained that, oh, that's conservatives. Yeah, because.
Serpent, by invading this sovereign land, you defy the laws of God, nature, and the United States Constitution. Therefore, I hereby apprehend you by the power vested in me by the aforementioned God, nature, etc., etc.
So who is this serpent? Is this serpent an Islamic extremism, an ISIS member bent on destroying Western civilization? No. The serpent is an American who has misgivings about unlimited illegal immigration and the costs associated with it.
Okay, well, and thank you for checking in, Jeremy in Vermont. As says Jeremy, as a self-certified comic book nerd, Marvel killed off Captain America earlier this year. Falcon will take up the role just fine, you paranoid neocon Fox. Mm-hmm. Yes. But Tucker Carlson, who has slowly watched his career just dwindle away, is having none of it.
Right. And that, according to the comic book, is evil.
Right. So these serpents are stopping people from coming over the border. And Captain America is saying, that's not going to happen on my watch. I'm Captain America. Here's what the comic book goes on to say. Oh, I believe you, sir. I can see you have enough trouble with you already. Trouble and disease and crime weigh heavy on your backs.
Interesting.
Of course, an interesting discussion around the idea of disease and rapists and everything else.
But the whole theme is the same.
How did rapists get into this? because it's what they sit around thinking of, these right-wingers. Right.
Same, which is out there in the middle of the country between Malibu and Georgetown, everyone is an ignorant snake handling bigot and they need to be held in place or else they'll turn this into Nazi Germany. It's like the people who run this country, a lot of them actually believe that. I live near them.
They should do a comic book on the opposite with the people who are working the border to keep us safe.
Well, what about the back in the day when these comic books, Captain America used to be punching Hitler in the face? Yeah. That was the front page.
Well, you know, he's dead. Oh, by the way, who had 6:56? Who had 6:56 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time? That would be 3:56 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time for the evening. Damn it, Gerald! How does he do it? I mean, just come back from the time machine and just give me the damn lottery numbers, okay? I mean, Captain America used to punch out Hitler.
Well, if he was punching out Vladimir Putin, you'd be pissed off about that because you like Vladimir Putin, you freak.
Page of a Captain America comic book back during World War II.
And now the threat comes from ordinary Americans. Yeah. Probably some of you watching at home.
Yeah, ordinary Americans. Named Serpent, ordinary Americans. Legion of the Serpent. The Supreme Serpent. You know what? These guys are so damn dim. Just take a minute. Supreme Serpent? Really? Supreme Serpent. I know it's alliterative and maybe that threw him off. But Supreme Serpent. Order of the Serpent. Come on, please. Supreme Serpent. Grand Dragon? Hello? Oh, but wait a minute. That's white people. Yep, and they're very conservative, those Grand Dragon, Ku Klux Klan. Under the subject line, Serpents and Captain America. Steve says, still think we haven't lost? I know, Steve, I know. Under the subject line, double secret Christian, Robert in Australia says, President Obama has about 14 months left in office. Is that right? Let's see. Hasn't all this President Obama is a secret Muslim gotten a bit old and somewhat pointless? Are they still going to be going on about it in 2017? Yes. When, and I wish him long life, he finally goes to his long home, the Fox commentary on his funeral will be to question whether or not he will have a Christian burial or a secret Muslim one later on at night after everybody's gone home, and the secret Muslim imam can come and give the secret Muslim hand sign that involves a hand and a finger. Jeremy, I think you may know a little too much of this. Once again, with the Fox Captain America scare, it wasn't Hitler, it was Red Skull from Hydra, but never mind the pesky facts. So Robert continues, maybe President Obama is a double secret Christian, a Christian pretending to be a secret Muslim who is actually a Christian. Ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That's worth pondering. Okay, more ciphering to do. Let's see, it's a 1, and that's an 11. And so we've got $106.11 to go. Thank you to Henry for the 6464 contribution. $106.11 on Sparky's Have a Birthday on Me, Have a Show on Me challenge. Thank you, Henry. Marty observing, Gerald must have rebuilt Doc Brown's DeLorean. I don't know. I saw it going. I saw it out on the perimeter in Atlanta when we were down there. Wondering where it was left. Ron in the frozen, non-frozen north with an observation. Okay, I'm all for Facebook putting up a posting criterion that says everybody who wants to put up a post under a given identity has to pass a goddamn spelling and grammar test before they can comment. Well, but see, that would render people in West Virginia mute and much of, well, Jesus land generally. Ron says they're so damn dim they couldn't light up the inside of a closed coffin. 14 months left in the U.S. federal election campaign, huh? I wish to note that Canada just finished an interminable 78-day election. I sincerely hope we don't graduate to real democracy. And along those lines, out in Vancouver, Brother Deacon Asa points out, with regard to the Canadian election today, Brother Deacon Asa says, it's a nail-biter for me today, Bob. I hate election days, both Canadian and the U.S. Canada, because the future of my country is on the line. The U.S., because what happens in the United States affects us here indiscriminately. Even if my preferred candidate wins, it's a bad day for me. That's because I think to myself, now I have to spend the next 4 years watching right-wingers attack my elected official and not let him do anything positive. You see what a miserable bastard I am on election day? Oh, yeah. I get it. Yeah, well, I mean, it's like the one that's upcoming for us. One in my position develops a conflict of interest rather quickly. President T. Rump or President Carson, or President Cruz or even Jebbia. They're gonna write their own comedy for 4 years, and so that's. Well, if this was a business, we'd say it was good for business. Instead, however, if we want the country to have any hope at all, we need to have, we need Bernie. Simply put, we need Bernie. You know, that's why Ferg, you may have seen him on Facebook there, that's why Ferg spent time volunteering at the Bernie booth at Bridge Day weekend, Bridge Day on Saturday. He's old enough to vote, and he can't wait to vote in the primary for Bernie. And once I get done explaining Thomas Fast to him, anybody who runs against that freak. Oh, and by the way, in that far-off day, remember, Muslims have to be buried within 24 hours of their death. Mm-hmm. It's going to make a state funeral kind of a pain in the ass. But wait. The coffin will be empty. Because he's really the Mahdi. You know, the seventh imam of a seventh imam or the 13th son of the... Right, with secret Muslim hand and single finger digit power. Ron and Raleigh pointing out, several years ago, Marvel printed a limited series called Truth. In this series, the Super Soldier Serum was first tested on a black GI, because after all, would they test it on a white guy first? No. The black GI was sent on a suicide mission to see if the serum was effective. He came back from the mission and gave up the red, white, and blue uniform. When he was old, after Captain America was revived, Cap came back to him and gave him the old uniform as a tribute. Bow ties cut off the circulation to the brain. And so do regular neckties. He transitioned, Ron, but it was really no help. Talking about Tucker. Marty says what will more likely happen is that the Mormons will posthumously baptize him into the Mormon cult. Or Scientology will get him, or something. Whew. So it's 5 minutes past the hour, and that's just, we're just touching the tip of the moranical iceberg. Oh my God. And you know, we joke about secret Muslims and all of that stuff. But we have to remember that all of this hatred has real-world impacts. This ain't funny. This is not even remotely humorous. Bloomington, Indiana, that would be the hometown of Indiana University, a 47-year-old woman, along with her daughter, were eating dinner about 7:30 p.m. on Saturday at Sofra Cafe, when a man began screaming ethnic slurs and, you know, the usual. Turns out the man in question was 19-year-old Tristan Bickford. This guy turned out to be a bigger ass than the kid in, what was it, that just wanted some macaroni and cheese, right? No, because Tristan Bickford, it is alleged, grabbed the 47-year-old woman by her neck, slammed her head into the table, and tried to remove her headgear. All the while screaming, "White power," and "kill them all." The woman's husband and another bystander wrestled young Tristan Bickford to the ground and kept him there till police arrived. As they held him on the ground, he spit into the men's faces and persisted in making threats. Once they got him in the cruiser, the kid tried to kick out the windows of the patrol car. He bit an officer on the lower leg after they got him to the Monroe County, Indiana jail. And somewhere along the way, they managed to get him to blow into a tube and found out that his breath alcohol content was 0.195, not 0.0195, 0.195, which is nearly twice the old legal limit for drinking and driving, and is now more than twice. Of course, the guy wasn't driving. He also, again, we'll note, was 19 years old, where the legal drinking age in Indiana, like the rest of the country, is 21. So they charged him with underage drinking, public intoxication, intimidation, misdemeanor battery, felony battery, and strangulation. You know what kind of bail you get set for you if you're a 19-year-old drunk white college kid in Bloomington, Indiana, who has just committed felony battery, strangulation, misdemeanor battery, intimidation, public intoxication, and underage drinking? $2,000. Yeah, they set his bail at $2,000. They must not be too concerned about Muslim women getting their head slammed into the table and, no, $2,000. Because, see, when you contact the bail bondsman, all you're going to have to do is put up $200 cash. And the bail bondsman will stand good for the rest of it. Here's where this story becomes very unpleasant and very much a sort of might as well prepare to deal with it kind of thing. Because this story is going to get legs. If it hasn't already, it will. Naturally, in the aftermath of the attack, people went and looked up young Tristan Bickford. They went and looked up his Facebook page. And no, it was not one long procession of Confederate flags. And no, it was not filled with white heritage, white pride. There weren't any adoring posts in admiration of Dylan Storm Roof,
in many ways, it's much worse. Among other things, young Tristan Bickford on July the 19th posted on Facebook, "If I see one more not-so-subtly racist post shared from some random conservative page, my brain is going to explode." And with regard back in June, with regard to the Confederate flag, he said, "If someone flew a Nazi flag and claimed it was about their heritage and not their bigotry, would you believe them?" September 27th, he complained about loud foreign students. March of 2013, he complained about Panda Express, a Chinese carryout place. Here's where it gets bad. A lot of what you'll find on the kid's Facebook page and his Twitter feed are statements very supportive of Senator Sanders. Now, to me, this is meaningless. To you, this is meaningless. But if, as I expect, this story gets legs, in a day or so, every follower of Senator Sanders will be a wild-eyed Islamophobe. You doubt it? Because I don't. Let's see. Just this month, October 14th, he tweeted what this campaign is about, and he used the Bernie 2016 logo as his avatar. "What this campaign is about is whether we can mobilize our people to take back our government from a handful of billionaires." He retweeted that from the Sanders campaign. He retweeted the Sanders campaign saying, "Right now a billionaire pays the same amount of money into Social Security as someone who makes $118,500 a year. It's time for a change." Big retweeter Tristan is. September 27th, he tweeted on his own hook, "When loud foreign students wake you up and you can't go back to sleep." On September 25th, the young man tweeted, or retweeted, something from the Sanders campaign saying, "Can't Jeb Bush and the GOP run a campaign without attacking African Americans, Latinos, Muslims, or other people?" I hope it doesn't get legs, but I expect where the right wing are concerned, I always kind of expect the lowest common denominator. Yeah, that's how it works out. So the other side gets 156,522, and we get one. But the one will be an abundance. complete with stage instructions, I get a note from Jack in Shreveport saying, "False flag, false flag." Use your Alex voice. "False flag." Well, after all, those are retweets. Mm-hmm. Please let it not be. Please let it not be. But no guarantees. Oh, no. So we'll take it. We'll take a little break.
And come back with more Morans, because we have, you know, lots more Morans. I could probably do 2 hours alone on Ben Carson showing up. Over on the ABC George Snuffleupagus program. Every time I think that man can't display any more stupid, he seems determined to prove me wrong. And this was stunning. Okay, so a break, and like I said, let's stay with the theme. Here's a different version of When I'm 64. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Happy birthday, Sparky.
When I get older, losing my hair, many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine? If I've been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? You can knit a sweater by the fireside. Sunday mornings go for a ride. Doing a garden, digging the weeds. Who could ask for more? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Every summer we can rent a cottage in the Isle of Wight. If it's not too dear, we shall scrimp out. A line stating point of view, indicate precisely what you mean to say. You're sincerely wasting away. Give me your answer, fill in a form, mine forevermore. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
And that's that. And that prompted a response from Ron in the not-so-frozen north saying, Del McCurry, hot damn! I love that version. I love most everything the Del McCurry band does. Doesn't get much better. And that comes from an album whose title track is Moneyland. And I've played it here, and you know, just a little pro tip to the Bernie folks. If you decide to have if Bernie decides to do a rally in, say, Kentucky or almost level West by Cold Virginia Stan or Western North Carolina or East Tennessee or somewhere like that, use Moneyland. Use Del McCurry's Moneyland. I bet you, I mean, just ask first and everything. I bet you Dale would say, well, hell yeah. The angry Indian with a note. What did I miss? Oh, here, let me hit the rewind button. No, I said I could. And by the way, it is Moran Monday, and we do have Sparky's happy birthday, have a show on me challenge on the table. He is doubling the first $200 that come in, but they have to come in using a particular number set, being as it is Sparky's birthday. Whatever comes in has to be either a 10, has to involve either a 10, a 19, a 51, a 64, or a 24. You know, like, so you might want to say do $10.51, that kind of thing. So 10, 19, 51, 64, or 24 in honor of the Horn's 10th birthday, which is upcoming this week. Okie doke, okie doke. And, of course, the lines are open. It is, after all, Conversation Radio. 304-574-8178 is one of the numbers. The other number, the stress line, is 304-663-4676. That's 304-663-HORN. And I mentioned Ben Carson a few minutes ago. He is becoming the gift that keeps on giving. And when it comes to just doling out the Moran goodies, he was a giver. I hate to use that term with him, but he was a giver of monumental proportions this past Sunday. Oh, yes. Because apparently, Ben Carson has got him a time machine. Apparently, he's the one who's got Doc's old DeLorean. And he's traveled back in time to explain, so he can explain to us all just what exactly went wrong back there, you know, when he wasn't president and never will be, etc. Mm-hmm. Now, this is big fun. Mercifully, I don't think we're going to have any audio of Mumbling Ben. Oh, do I or don't I? Seems a lot to put you through, really. Well, sure, why not? It's Moran Monday. I can't mumble worth beans. No. I can occasionally take a run at a Mr. Magoo impression, but that's about as good as it gets. Dear God, we almost had a problem earlier. I just got a tweet in from Haley in Arkansas. Haley says, I drove home from work hearing that dense West Virginia state rep try to teabag spin about secret Muslims. Hashtag SMH. Eyes on the road, Haley. Eyes on the road. I don't know. Maybe it's best we don't listen to Moran Monday in the car. So in an exclusive one-on-one interview, yeah, a fella really could cue up Hall & Oates with that one if he was an old DJ with it. No. I mean, if we were doing tons of pre-production here and everything, that would be great background music underneath this audio. It really would. I mean, honestly. See? Kind of got a Ben Carson vibe to it, doesn't it?
Dr. Carson, thank you for joining us. How do you respond to that, and why would you be a better president than Donald Trump?
Well, you know, I don't want to necessarily compare myself with anyone, but I can tell you that, you know, I've had lots of experience doing a whole host of things, negotiating with all kinds of people in order to get things accomplished. And also bear in mind, there is no one person who does
all the negotiation. Yeah, okay, that was cute, but wait.
And knows everything.
All right, but just for the exclusive one-on-one interview between for-profit media specialist and, as Charlie Pierce refers to him, the Clinton guy shocked by blowjobs. We just call him George Snuffleupagus. A one-on-one with mumbling Ben Carson, and I'm going to have to pot him up because he was mumbling in rare form there. All right, here we go.
Dr. Carson, thank you for joining us. How do you respond to that, and why would you be a better president than Donald Trump?
Well, you know, I don't want to necessarily compare myself with anyone, but I can tell you that, you know, I've had lots of experience doing a whole host of things, negotiating with all kinds of people in order to get things accomplished. And also bear in mind, there is no one person who does all the negotiation and knows everything. You know, in the multitude of counselors is safety. So I think that the important thing is to understand what the stakes are.
Next up, Mumbling Ben will read for us Lewis Carroll's Jabberwocky. Did any of that make any sense? First of all, what the hell kind of question is, how could you be a better Trump than Trump? And what is this rumor? I keep seeing it bouncing around on Facebook. I've seen it mentioned multiple times. What is this that Mumbling Ben is going to suspend his campaign? Now the guy's running a nice second with T Rump. The hell's going on here? Is this a PR move where he's no, I'm too pure and Christian for the dirtiness of politics, and so I'm going to suspend my campaign. And then all the birthers, baggers, deathers, booger eaters, and et cetera, are supposed, no, Ben, no, dear God, not that, Ben, no, please, Jesus, no, come back to us, Ben, we need you now. Oh, I don't know. If it's something you think you might really... And I said I couldn't mumble. Okay, so he suspended it for a book tour? What? In the chat room, Earther says, when I hear Carson talk, I always think, wow, whoa there, slow down, one word at a time. God, the program just writes itself. Yeah, Angry says he did suspend it for the book tour. And it, what does that even mean? In the comfort of counselors is comfort or something.
And knows everything. You know, in the multitude of counselors is safety. So I think that the important...
Is that a Muslim saying? Just asking. Not asking. Just saying. Not saying.
...thing is to understand what the stakes are. When you go into a negotiation, you know, the recent Iran negotiation, for instance...
Yeah, for instance, P.S., hockey puck. For the love of God, hockey puck. Brand new duct tape. I know. We've already had an incident earlier this evening. Fatal error occurred. Puck ejected. Strap this one down, because there's going to be... Yeah.
You have to know how to negotiate. You have to know how to verify, how to make sure that there's the appropriate accountability. You have to be able to take down their infrastructure. You have to know what your goals are.
Have you ever done anything like that?
If you don't know what your goals are...
Have you ever done anything like that? Asked George Snuffleupagus. But the implication, of course, is that no one in the White House had any of those skills. No, couldn't possibly. And I'm happy to report that Haley has safely gotten home there in Arkansas. I tweeted that after arriving home, smiley face. Driving is weird enough around here with the deer and other cornflake box license drivers. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Devin with a gorilla tape, damn it. We're going to have to move up from the ordinary duct tape. Gorilla tape! Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, Arthur gets a cowbell for that one. If you watch Ben Carson for 5 straight minutes, your pet turtles will seem like they're on caffeine and meth. What's turtle for dude? Yeah, here we go.
Are you not going to be doing? Have I ever done anything like what?
Negotiate? Anything like
absolutely.
That? What's the best
I've
example
negotiated
to prepare
many
you?
Things. Well, for instance, when I became the director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins.
I had to negotiate with the other side's lawyer after I left a sponge in a girl's brain. No, that's probably not what he's going to say.
Pediatric neurosurgery was not even on the map at Hopkins at that point. I had to negotiate a number of things in order to create the various different divisions. And by the time we got to 2008, U.S. News World Report ranked us the number one pediatric neurosurgery unit in the United States.
Because so, there probably weren't many of them in the first place. I mean, they just create... Wait a minute. That sounds a little like... Nah, couldn't be. They just created him a pediatric neurosurgery department? Just to say they had one? There's a phrase for that, and I can't remember what it is. Damn it.
Is the ability to do things. I had to negotiate with many people in different cities as we were putting the Carson Scholars Fund together. It's now active in all 50 states. As you know, 9 out of 10 nonprofits fell. Not only that, has won major national awards that are only given to one philanthropic organization in the country out of tens of thousands. That's not done without having the ability to negotiate.
Donald Trump also suggested that George W. Bush has to share in the blame for 9/11. Because it happened on his watch. What do you make of that?
Okay, what I make of that is that you really, really, no, if you were, no, take a big bite out of the hockey puck, okay? Because Sherman set the Wayback Machine for what the?
I would probably ask him what he meant by that. I seriously doubt that he's saying that George W. Bush is to blame for it. But beyond that, I would ask him.
You're the only Republican.
I certainly don't think so.
You are the only Republican, the only major candidate who opposed President Bush's decision to invade Afghanistan after 9/11. And I want to show what you said at the debate.
Declare that within 5 to 10 years we will become petroleum independent. The moderate Arab states would have been so concerned about that, they would have turned over Osama bin Laden and anybody else you wanted on a silver platter within 2 weeks.
Now, hold on a minute. Because I have to report on, and granted, talking about video on the radio is like dancing about architecture, but still, I got to report on the, because there's all kinds of hand gestures there, and I wonder if, dang it, wouldn't it be handy to have Delegate Fast on hand to see if he could tell us which one was the secret Seventh-day Adventurer hand sign? Or maybe, is it possible that one of those was a secret muslin hand sign? Because his hands were just all over the place. But those are healer's hands.
That's what you said he should have done, but how would that have worked? How would you have gotten the moderate Arab governments to turn over Osama bin Laden in 2 weeks? He'd already been expelled by Saudi Arabia. He was already an enemy of those moderate governments.
Well, I think they would have been extremely concerned if we had declared... And we were serious about it, that we were going to become petroleum independent, because it would have had a major impact on their finances. And I think that probably would have trumped any loyalty that they had to people like Osama bin Laden.
But they didn't have any loyalty to Osama.
Pro tip for Mumbling Ben. Don't use the word Trump, because then you'll have to pay him. Because, you know, he's copyrighted his own name. Oh, dear God. Has anybody explained to this fool where most of the oil in the United States actually comes from? Hint. Not the Persian Gulf. Our interest in the Persian Gulf is strictly commercial. Our interest in the Persian Gulf is corporate. Our interest in the Persian Gulf is in the name of our allies. You know, people like the UK, France, Germany, Italy, you know, Japan, Australia, who do rely on that oil. The United States is, for the most part, energy independent when it comes to oil. Because, see, way back when the Saudis cut off the oil, back in the 70s, when America had a collective purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy when gas went to 55.9 cents a gallon, I remember it. Well, we did things. And we started shifting it around so they couldn't screw us anymore. They screwed us one more time. And then all of that fur and oil that everybody's all the time talking about, you know who the foreigners we're talking about are? Of course you do. Mexico and Canada, and to a lesser extent, Venezuela. That's our foreign oil. Really? Not Saudi Arabia. Not Bahrain. Not Kuwait. Now, granted, we may have been using some of that foreign oil for the foreign oil that we used to prosecute our wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and for which we paid something on the order of $15 a gallon or more. $30 a gallon. I mean, the Halliburger was $30, wasn't it? I mean, it kind of makes sense to ship the oil to the... Oh, never mind. But see, Ben Carson doesn't know this because Ben Carson is dumber than a bag of hammer handles. I mean, this guy really is not brilliant. He has, at best, a passing whimsy with the world as it exists. He's much more interested in the world that exists in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between his ears and pass for brains. And I don't get it. Is because, well, Mumbling Ben is not that much older than me. And all I can presume, well, let's put it, to, I look back on my own college experience, and when I went to college, I went through several different majors because I wanted to study everything, you know, except math. And that kind of let the engineering department out and the computer science department out. And chemistry, I refused to take chemistry. But I was like a kid in a candy shop. But because we have these structured degree programs, and remember, Mumbling Ben was going to be a psychiatrist, he said, when he started out. So one can presume that he was, but the thing is, with the degree requirements
You know, you got to get through your English 1 and your English 2 and maybe one more literature course and you're done. Maybe two history courses, done. Wow, I'd love to know who taught him political science. Done. And then it's all within your major. No polymath, that mumbling Ben. So he actually managed to miss out on most of the stuff that you need to know if you're going to actually understand the system of governance that we have in this country. And one wonders when he went from being, Steve Martin in The Jerk, I wonder when he went from being a poor black child to being a right-wing asshole. Because that happened at some point. And once you've gotten there and you have no civic education whatsoever, then you just make stuff up like, well, you know, if the moderate states, did you hear that? And I think poor George Snuffleupagus almost exploded, spontaneously combusted. Wow, we could have gotten the moderate states to give it a... Okay, moderate Arab states. That would be your UAE, your Kuwait, kind of Otis one, your Saudi Arabia. Not exactly moderate when you're out there lopping people's heads off. And Jordan, who ain't got a drop of oil. And Egypt at the time under Mubarak, who, again, sorry, no oil. And they were going to give up Bin Laden, because they had the secret hand sign that everybody gave that told them, we know where Bin Laden is. Just don't tell the Americans, because someday soon they'll have a Muslim president. See, I'm doing the hand signs the whole time. That's where video would come in handy.
Their enemy.
Well, you may not think that they had any loyalty to him, but I believe otherwise.
Well, as long as he believes it. I mean, never mind what evidence is, never mind what facts are. As long as mumbling Ben Carson believes that they really knew where Osama bin Laden, in Bay Laden lay, Osway, Ixnay with the... So what? So yeah, there you go thinking again, George Snuffleupagus.
So you believe that had President Bush simply declared energy independence, they would have turned over Osama bin Laden? How would they have gotten him out of the tribal areas of Afghanistan and Pakistan?
I think they would have known where he was. You know, there were indications, for instance, during the Clinton administration that...
Oh, ding, 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 ding. There it is. It's Clinton's fault. If only he would have used his mighty penis of terrorist seeking, we could have avoided all of this. Yeah, but then we would have had President Gore. Oh, see what happens when you go messing around with the time stream. Damn it, Ben! You just disappeared because we've got President Gore now, or had.
That they knew exactly where he was, but didn't necessarily pull the trigger. If we could tell where he was, I'm certain that they knew where he was.
And we couldn't. We had no idea. I mean, we didn't have any idea where bin Laden was, you know, until we went into Afghanistan and found him at Tora Bora, and the Bush administration said, "All way off!"
But at that point, we had some idea, but we didn't know for sure. I simply don't understand how you think this would have worked.
Well, here's the point. Here's my point. My point is, we had other ways that we could have done things. I personally don't believe that invading Iraq was an existential threat to us. I don't think Saddam Hussein was an existential threat to us. That's a very different situation right now. Now we have global jihadists who want to destroy us and our way of life.
But sir, I wasn't that.
Why? Did you catch that? He's the Iraq War. He's not a fan. Saddam Hussein was not an existential threat to us. That means he's duking it out with T-Rump for the moderately sane Republican voters. Well, yeah, you know, he probably wasn't there. And I mean, God bless George Bush. He wasn't the brightest bulb in the chandelier. And damn it, he tried. But, I mean, no, we probably didn't need that war. It only took till 2015 to get a Republican to say that this was not a good idea. Day late and a few coffins short there, mumbling Ben.
It's a completely different situation.
I wasn't asking about invading Iraq. I was asking about invading Afghanistan, which had been harboring Osama bin Laden.
Well, I was primarily talking about Iraq. You know, I wasn't particularly interested in going into Afghanistan, but I do think that we should have taken aggressive action.
Yo, Ben, he wasn't in Iraq! Shut up. He's on a roll.
And I think, you know, creating a base that did not require tens of thousands of our troops, that required a group. And I think we probably have that number pretty close to right now, about 10,000 or so. And being able to use our drones and being able to use our intelligence and things of that nature, I think that's probably all that was necessary in Afghanistan.
But sir,
I hate it when Ben starts speaking in linear A. I mean, I was better off understanding the lady from Friday night in Toledo, Opal Covey, with the tongue speaking, the shimdalakalabadagop. This is like the boogaloo. This plum evades me. We were just going to send up our mighty drone of freedom, and it was just going to hum in on his bin Ladenness. Woof. Ron and Raleigh with an observation. Subject line, believe it or not, there are white people that think old Ben is smarter than Slim Leader. Can you get your head around that? If I do, it'll stretch to the breaking point, Ron. Bob down in Texas says, mumbling Ben, maybe the campaign suspension is Ben's version of James Brown putting on the cape and walking away only to come back and conquer? Not every night we get a James Brown reference on this program. Well played, Bob. Well played. Yeah. Please, God, let's get through this. Please.
We look back at 9/11, 3,000 people dead on that day. We knew Afghanistan was harboring Osama bin Laden. 90% of the American public supported taking military action. Every member of Congress but one. If that is not a case where you would order retaliation, what is?
Well, I just said I do believe that we should have taken aggressive action. I just don't think necessarily putting tens of thousands of our troops was the correct way to do it. But, you know, we're talking about things that are in the past. We will never know the answer to that. And we really need to be concentrating on what are we going to do now.
Oh, my. Now he's a philosopher. He didn't agree with Dim Leader going into Iraq. But by the same token, he does agree with BIM leader. Because remember when the question was put to some member of his administration or some such, and or maybe it was put to DIM leader himself, and the question was, how do you think history will judge you? And DIM leader responded, hey, who cares? We'll all be dead. Yeah, anybody got me a shouty king I can smolik on for a little bit? I need a kiss. That's in the past, and we can never know. Oh, Jim Morrison, if only you hadn't taken that bath. Jimi Hendrix, if only you hadn't eaten that big dinner. John Lennon, if only you'd gone out drinking that night. But we can never know, because those things are in the past. Don't go to the theater, Mr. Lincoln! And again, it's kind of like where Delegate Fast was microcosmic. This guy's macrocosmic. There are people who are just praying that he's the Republican nominee for president so they can go and vote for him and save our country. The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. If and we elect bumbling Ben Carson. In a moment of extreme clarity here, the marvelously coherent Diane from Kansas Stan writes simply, Carson is an existential threat. Amen. Amen. I told you I could go a while on Ben Carson. I'm trying not to let him just eat up the entire program. And it is, remember, we have Sparky's Happy Birthday Challenge on the table with $106 and 11 cents to go, $106 and 11 cents. Remember, Sparky wants all of the contributions to be a combination of the number 10, the number 19, the number 51, the number 64, or the number 24. So, like, $10 and 11 cents, that kind of thing. And we've only got $106.11 to go at 7 minutes before the hour. And, of course, the for-profit media are coming unglued. The glue's not that good in the first place, but they are all a titter. Why? Because an unnamed source close to Vice President Joe Biden has said that Vice President Biden will announce within the next 48 hours, which is now closer to the next 36 hours, or maybe 24, whether he will enter the presidential race for the 2016 election. Meanwhile, U.S. Member of the House Brendan Boyle of PA tweeted earlier today, a very good source says that the vice president's decision will be yes, he's going to run. And Dana Bash, chief political correspondent for Chicken Noodle News, says that she's been told that people close to the vice president are scheduling interviews with candidates for potential campaign staff positions. This, of course, has no bearing whatsoever with me, because, well, I'm staying with Bernie. Five minutes before the hour, let's run over to the stress line. Jim in Nevada Stan has been waiting ever so patiently. Hey, Jim.
Oh, Jim. I hear a siren, but I don't hear Jim.
It's me, Flavio.
Oh, Flavio. Okay. Stand by, Flavio. I went to the wrong button. Hang on. Hey, Jim, there you are. Jim? There's Jim.
Let me get
no offense to Flavio. I take calls in the orders they are received, and Jim's been waiting longer, so we'll come to you next time, Flavio. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay. Now, all the Republicans are whack. That goes without saying. But I did get something interesting yesterday with the Las Vegas atheist meetup.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty cool, pretty interesting. About 20 people, a little bit under 18, 19 people there. And Ken Jillette, he's an atheist, but he's also, he's basically going to be putting his, trying to make it so they can get that, what do you call it, that pledge thing where people pledge money so they can buy his house and make it into a permanent, the biggest atheist group meeting place in the country. So we'll see how that's fun. What do you fund it?
You mean like a crowdfunding?
Yeah. So that's what's going on with that. But no, it's just interesting meeting, kind of like-minded free thinkers as opposed to what you usually run into at other, most places you go. Imagine it's kind of like that where like you were talking earlier in the show, you said, you got your certain little section, but like once you step outside of it, you know where you are,
Yeah.
So that was interesting, and then, so that's what's going on. And, how do you think the presidential campaign is going? You think they're just going overboard over Hillary, or you think it's...
This is about as interesting as it gets. I don't know what'll it mean if Biden gets into the race? Who's he trying to save us from, Bernie or Hillary?
No, I think he would hurt Hillary. I don't even know if he had that much effect on Hillary, because I think Hillary's got she's a woman, and everybody thinks, not everybody, but a lot of people think, well, we got a black president, now let's have a woman president. I don't think that's the criteria the president should be elected on. I have no problem with voting for electing a woman. I just think Bernie's better qualified, infinitely more, and I agree with his politics more.
Now, I do find this kind of interesting. Reports are floating around that Jim Webb, who can kill you with his thumb, damn it, who has not had enough time, Jim Webb is considering an independent presidential run.
Go for it.
Because America needs more Jim Webb. But there's a news conference about his candidacy scheduled for tomorrow. Now, why this would not be, okay, I've been a presidential candidate long enough, it's time to get out, I ain't got any money. Why that wouldn't be, I don't know.
A lot of Republicans are running into trouble with their money.
Rand Paul's coming unglued.
Right. And even W's probably having trouble, although I don't know how, but somewhere that he might, this is on Twitter or something, Republicans are having trouble raising money. And so you think it might be the good doctor, is going to be a Democrat, a Republican nominee?
No, I'm not making any predictions. I'm just sitting back and enjoying the circus.
Yeah.
I mean, if you try to predict how many clowns are going to come out of the car, you're going to be wrong. You just are. So yeah. You sit back and you just, I mean, the business with Ben Carson there, Jim, Jesus, God.
I'm just glad he didn't do brain surgery when I had it. I'm glad I had it.
Yeah, look, I mean, and you know what? You can, Jesus gave you those brain aneurysms, and then he made sure that you had a doctor who wasn't Ben Carson. So maybe you've been blessed after all. Have a blessed day, Jim.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously, they never give you nothing you can't handle, so it decides to off you.
All right, well, I'm going to let that other person get through. I was just calling to give you a little Las Vegas update.
Well, careful about hanging around. Careful about hanging out with Penn and Teller. I mean, those are some pretty libertarian guys.
None of that. In fact, there was even some people who even kind of brought that up, and it's not like I've met him. I don't even know if I'll ever meet him. Not that it matters. I did that before that, you know, but I don't think it's gonna, you know, yeah, unless I get offered a part in a show or something, we'll have to talk then. Looks twice sign on the dotted line. So, all right, well, let's
right.
go.
Well, you take care, Jim. Good to talk to you.
All right.
Bye now. And a little update. Thank you very kindly to Jenny. In Wisconsin, the fundraising goal is now down to $87 even. $87 to go to meet Sparky's Have a Show on Me When I'm 64 birthday challenge. And now let's go over to Flavio in Wisconsin. Hey, Flavio.
Hey, greetings from Mississippi.
Yeah, that it is, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Although don't be too serious about that yet, Flavio. Unless you've been to Mississippi, you don't know how good you got it up there.
Oh, I don't know.
For one, you don't have a circuit judge who gives interviews and says, "Well, hell, them people's charged with crimes don't need lawyers. They's all guilty anyway. They tell you anything." Now this is a judge who lets people rot in jail for up to a year at a time before he ever even appoints them counsel.
True, but I mean, we're moving in that direction inexorably, and really fast.
Well, that's the question: is it inexorable or is it remediable?
I don't know. I just wanted to start with a few amenities, if I would.
Sure. Yeah.
I wanted to apologize for my telephonic reticence. And
the siren in the background?
No, I live by the cop shop.
Oh, okay.
The friggin' city hall and the cop shop is right kitty corner for me. So.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so now that I've given my coordinates... they can drop a drone on me. but anyway, so I apologize for that.
No worries.
It's just that, you know, I don't like talking much. I like listening. I listen more than I talk. I think I got that from one of my sisters who is like that. And I always admired her, Sabrina. And
lovely name.
Oh yeah, she was just she was always like that. She would never talk, but when you'd question her about something, she'd been listening all along, and she knew the answer. She was amazing. I mean, just, you know.
Well, was it? And you know, there. John Oliver did a wonderful thing on quotes that aren't really quotes this past weekend. So I'm suspicious of everything, but. Was it Mark Twain who said, "It is better to be silent and thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt"?
Yes.
Although that kind of sounds Ambrose Bierce-ish.
No, that is Mark Twain. I'm an amateur Mark Twain scholar.
You're a Twainiac?
I'm a Twainiac. I've read practically everything, and I know that he was in La Crosse, I think in 1876 or 1870, my dates, I can never remember dates very well. I'm not good with numbers, but he was around 1870, 1876, he was here in La Crosse, I think it was in the spring, and it rained for like a whole week. And he wrote in his autobiography, he was always terse like that, laconic. He wrote, "It rained more than was necessary." I mean, that just cracked me up. I'm sorry. That
was it, so 1876, I'm presuming he was on a speaking tour.
Yeah. It was just like, "It rained more than was necessary." I mean, can you... That's about as good as the Gospel of St. Mark.
With
and
Jesus
that
wept.
Wonderful sentence, that wonderful sentence. And Jesus wept. I mean, you can't get any better than that.
Right up there with Hemingway, what was it? Manuel sat against the wall.
Yeah. It was like that. It's just like...
Manuel drank his brandy.
Yeah, it wasn't Fenimore Cooper, okay? You know, he bore the more preferable parts to the stopping place, yada, 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 of the deer, you know, which was not suitable for the transportation of raw meat. But I'm really worried. I'm really worried because, I don't know, this is a late submission.
Okay.
For more on Monday? Do you accept late submission?
Late-breaking submission, yes.
This is from 6 days ago. GOP bill would allow concealed guns in Wisconsin college buildings. So this pair of morons in the legislature, parenthetical statement, I was raised a Catholic Christian. And
still recovering, are we?
Well, no. I mean, there's some good things in Christianity, man. There's some, you know, love your neighbor, turn the other cheek. Those are all good things. Didn't say anything about carrying firearms. So anyway, this is why I think these people are evil. And Mike Malloy doesn't like to use the term evil because he sees religious connotations in that, but I really do believe that there are people that are certifiably evil. Okay, you might want to translate that for the agnostics and the atheists
No. Look, I'm a humanist. As such, I acknowledge
social
that.
Catholic, maybe.
I prefer even simpler explanations. They're more elegant. There are people in this world, by virtue of the way that the human genome periodically rearranges itself, who are simply born with bad brains. I don't mean they're developmentally delayed. I mean they're just born in such a way that they behave vastly contrary to any understood rules of human contact. Under that heading, we can file your sociopaths, your psychopaths, your serial killers. We've already the Hitler pool went off at 6:56 p.m. So your Hitlers, your Stalins, your Maos, your Pol Pots, etc., etc., etc.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Which we spell here in West Virginia, ek.
Yeah, I know. I hate that ek. It's not ek.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's the West Virginia spelling of the abbreviation for et cetera, ECT, ECT.
No, that's like Wisconsin.
I'm in charge of the West Virginia spelling, Spavio. Don't argue.
Okay, no, it's the same thing in Wisconsin. I mean, it's like we always say, I had went. No. I had gone.
No, you haven't lived until you have taken.
And taken, too. I mean, that
no, no fair telling me you've heard tooken in Wisconsin. No fair.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, I have. And I borrowed him my car. Yes. When they mean lent.
In Wisconsin, do they carry mama to the Jitney Jungle?
Oh, I missed that.
Well, no, if you're driving somebody somewhere, you carry them.
Oh, no. I've not heard that one. That's a good one.
Well, that means there's hope.
That's good.
I have went. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm just tired of hearing that. And, you know, a friend of mine, a Canadian friend of mine, was saying, you know, don't make fun of people that speak broken English. They speak a second language. And I'm saying, no, people around here don't speak English. I mean, foreigners.
Well, no. For that, you have to go all the way back to, British playwright, George Bernard Shaw. And the English barely know how to speak their own language, and the Americans don't even recognize it. Or something like that.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking, you know, because, you know, we're under the magnifying glass. We're always on the spot because we're foreigners. And so we have to speak better English than the natives. And it turns out that people that learned English as their second language enunciate and have better diction and better grammar.
Well, one would never know that your mother tongue was Portuguese or any other language, Flavio. I mean,
No. I'm telling you, I know a Bengali, a doctor, whose English is superb, and he would still ask me to proofread his letters and stuff. I'm like, dude, your English is perfect. I mean, I would give all the money in the world to have you as one of my students. Because I'm always, you know, that red pen. Oh my God.
Yep.
Oh. Anyway, so GOP bill. This is from the Wisconsin State Urinal. I mean,
yes, I did right.
Wisconsin State Journal Sentinel. They merged. You remember? GOP bill would allow concealed guns in Wisconsin college buildings. These people are evil. Okay. So this pair of Republican morons. Morons, okay, want to allow, because you see, right now, the law in Wisconsin allows you to carry a gun in the premises, on the premises, I should say. Okay? But you can't, most buildings, okay, even private colleges in Wisconsin have, like, big, bold letters at building entrances. No firearms, no knives, nothing allowed. But the law allows you, you know, because we have conceal and carry in Wisconsin, thanks to the Republican legislature. And you can carry guns on the premises. But now, these people want to allow guns in the buildings themselves under the guise of protecting students. So if you don't mind, can I read a few passages?
Yeah, keep it brief.
I'll be brief. I the reason I delayed calling was because I was underlining the preferred morsels, let's say.
You are a pedant of the first order.
Yeah, no, I'm just quoting Fenimore Cooper from Fenimore Cooper's Literary Offenses, and I think Mark Twain wrote two essays about that. That was just a gaffe. I never laughed so hard in my life.
Yeah. No matter how hard a man is trying to be, Sooner or later, a stick will appear under his foot in the woods in all Eos.
And it will sound
like a cannon shot.
It will sound like a cannon shot to all the Indians for miles around.
Miles around, exactly, yes.
So anyway, allowing concealed weapons inside a building like Camp Randall Stadium, filled with 80,000 people, creates a major security issue, said a statement Tuesday from the University of Wisconsin-Madison Police Department.
And see, that's just liberal hippie communism right there, because it won't create a problem at all, because an armed society is a polite society, and if everybody in Camp Randall Stadium's got a gun, everybody's going to be real careful.
Yeah. Okay. The evidence, okay, I'm quoting, the evidence does not support the idea that our campus would be safer if concealed firearms are allowed in our buildings, the statement said. In states that allow concealed carry, these mass shooting tragedies have still occurred. So, we urge our legislators not to change the existing law, UW-Madison police said. Doing so would put the safety of our students, faculty, staff, and guests at risk. Okay, and these are the morons. The bill proposed by Representative Jesse Kramer, R. Kilwaskum, and Senator Devin LeMahieu, R. Oostburg, that's by Sheboygan.
Of course it
comes
is.
Comes with Oostburg.
Yeah, of course
that's
it
like
is.
That's like Cheeseburg.
Right, and just so you'll know, Michael and Madison responded, subject line, Wisconsin borrowers. Come on, Flavio, of course I borrowed him my car. I gave up driving for Lent.
I love it. Okay, the bill proposed by Representative Jesse Kramer, R. Kowaskum, and Senator Devin LeMahieu, R. Cheeseburg, Oostburg. You know that Oost is cheese in the Scandinavian languages, right? Comes less than 2 weeks after a gunman killed 9 people at an Oregon community college. But Kramer says the bill itself is not in response to the incident, adding that he has been working on it for months in response to rising violence near UW-Milwaukee campus. Under current law, people can carry guns on the grounds of public colleges and universities, but those schools can ban weapons inside campus buildings. The bill Kramer introduced would repeal the current UW system gun ban and prevent UW campuses and campuses of the Wisconsin Technical College system from prohibiting firearms for those who have concealed carry licenses. Associated Students of Madison Chairwoman Madison Lanning said student government leaders were shocked by the bill. Lanning said she would trust campus police more than peers with guns. Quote, personally, I think...
Wait, back up. Give me that again.
Ahead. Lanning said she would trust campus police more than peers with guns.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I had that right. Okay, I'm all better now.
Her equals, her peers, right? Quote, personally, I think this would create a more unsafe campus with students who have no experience in formal training with guns on them in class, Lanning said. Quote, I think our biggest concern is the gun could be turned on the person who has it. Unquote. Student government leaders at both UW-Madison and UW-Milwaukee said they are contacting lawmakers and asking them to oppose the bill. Quote, the reason the restrictions to concealed carry laws exist on college campuses is not solely to protect students from violence from others, unquote, said Mike Sportiello, UW-Milwaukee's student body president. Quote, mental health issues on college campuses continue to increase at a time where financial support for resources to address these issues, okay, and this is grammatically incorrect, but sick, is being strangled. really what he meant to say was where.
No, I get it. I get it. And you know, and the sad thing is, this will pass. I mean, we can cut to the chase on this. This will pass. And Scott Walker will sign it into law, with an American flag draped around him, talking about how we will have returned freedom to college campuses in Wisconsin. Wrong accent, I know, but still, you get the idea.
Let me finish. I'll be brief. Self-inflicted gun wounds are the number one mode of suicide, according to the Federal Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, Sportiello said in a letter to lawmakers Tuesday. He also cited research that suggests right-to-carry laws do not reduce crime and may actually increase it. Okay, let me cut to the chase. Okay, and
yeah.
None of the parents were consulted. None of the instructors were consulted. And most of the instructors object to this because, well, what goes on college campuses?
Drinking?
Well,
or do you mean learning?
In college classrooms, I should say.
I'll still vote drinking.
In college classrooms.
Actually, yeah, sure. You stop at the tap and you have a couple before class, and you stop at the tap and you have a couple after class.
Right.
God damn, it's college,
yeah,
Flavia.
But, no, but I mean, what goes on in college classrooms between the interaction between teacher and student, very involved discussions about controversial topics.
And things about which people become heated, yes.
And then they had just a drink outside before they came in with their conceal and carry and,
because,
and you know what
right,
happened.
Because freedom. Right. See, Jenny, who is up in Wisconsin, says, guns at UW. I was such an ass in college, I would be dead. Professors and students alike. But I was in the honors program. What's happening to our state? Oh, my God. And see, the nice thing is that there's still people in Wisconsin saying, what is happening to our state? And the operative phrase there, the operative word there, Flavio, is the participial form, happening. You're not to what?
Say it again. I'm a little hard of hearing.
The operative phrase there is happening, not happen.
It's happening.
Yeah, not happened. It isn't over yet. You've still got time to... You and Jenny and Michael and all the wonderful, wonderful progressive people. I mean, there are probably a million more, 500%, 1,000% more progressive people in Wisconsin than in Mississippi. Okay? And that's not Mississippi.
But
you've got a chance up there.
I hope. I really do. One last quote. Quote, classrooms and buildings on college campuses are places where students and faculty sometimes engage in emotionally charged discourse and debates. Allowing armed participants in this type of discussion has the potential to lead to serious negative consequences, unquote, said Connor Smith, spokesman for the Wisconsin Technical College System.
Absolutely.
No shit, Sherlock.
Absolutely. And you know what? This is the part that I don't get. I have contemplated what it would be like to send our children off to college. And you know, you think, you hope you've raised them right, and okay, you're going to need a... Because you're still doing some of those parent-ish kinds of things, Flavio. Things like, okay, where are you going to school? Are you going to need a good winter coat? Are you going to need a pair of good winter boots? Do we still need to write your name in the back of your underwear?
My dad was still wiping my ass when I was going to college.
Okay.
And that was like 30 years ago.
Right. So too much information. So I don't understand the mindset, Flavio, that says, you know, coat, boots, socks, underwear, gun. See, I don't get that.
No, me neither.
Because they're teenagers. I mean, you're sending somebody off to college generally at the tender age of 18 years. Well, you've lived in our house long enough. It's time for you to carry a gun in the big, wide, open, deadly world. What?
We didn't even have one in the house. When I lived in a farm, back when I was like 6 or 7 in Brazil, there had been a prison break from one of the penitentiaries. And there was an armed hoodlum around. And my mother got a double-barreled shotgun. And she had that very briefly in the house. My mother, Maria. And she was, like, freaked out about it, you know. And then I think we got rid of it in a week.
Oh, I mean, now, see, if your average garden variety right-winger was living in Brazil, your average garden variety right-winger, Flavio, would have a gun in the house in case there was an invasion of zombie piranha.
Zombie piranha? That's good. That deserves a cowbell.
Oh, here, I'll give myself one. Okay, I don't often get... I'm not often the recipient of donated cowbells.
Yeah, but you know what happens with zombie piranhas, right?
What's that?
You know, they go around brains, and then they come across the teabagger and they go right past them.
Yep, leave them alone. Yep. No sense even slowing down. Or the zombie form of those great goddamn big groundhogs they grow down there. What are they? Capybaras. Yeah, those.
Yeah, no, around here we only have badgers and raccoons. They're really cute.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, but I was talking about Brazil. I mean, maybe that's Venezuela. I don't know.
No, it's Brazil. We got capybaras.
I hear they're delicious.
We spell it with a V, though.
I hear they're delicious.
In Spanish, it's with a B.
Yeah, and the Spanish and the Portuguese are still willing to go to war over who's got that one right.
No, but...
But they're delicious, yeah, with sweet taters, I'm told. Just
can
like possum.
Can I tell you a funny anecdote? When I lived in Madison, I went to take out my trash to the dumpster, right? And I threw the thing in the... I threw the garbage bag in the dumpster. And a freaking possum comes hauling out of there, hissing. Those things hiss.
Well, have you ever had a garbage bag thrown at you?
No.
You'd hiss, too. I mean, this is Wisconsin. People are supposed to be decent to each other up there.
No, it was like, I was just like, that was the freakiest. It was night. It was all dark out. And I throw the thing, and the thing goes, psst. I was like, holy crap, what was that?
Yeah, and then if you get aggressive with it, it'll roll over and play dead. I mean, nobody's ever gotten rabies from, like, a possum bite.
I'd never seen one. The thing was long.
Well, yeah, and if somebody threw a garbage bag on your children, you'd hiss too.
I know, but I didn't know he was there.
And you didn't look either. That's like I
can't see a foot in front of me. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I got in trouble with Agnes the other day. She said, I wasn't here, and she said while I was gone, that she knocked loose a spider egg sac.
Oh my god!
And it landed on her head, and there were all these little tiny spiders. And she said, and then the mother spider came down and went, you know, and she did that with you know, her arms were being the front legs of the spider, and she was hit, you know, with the fangs and everything. And I said, it was just trying to protect its young. And she's, well, thanks for caring.
No, I, you know, it's like, it was the first time I'd ever seen a possum. I thought they were supposed to hang from trees or something and just, like, sleep.
Yeah, and you just pluck one when you need it. Right, sure. Jesus, Flavio.
I don't know. I'm a city kid.
I try to do this program without drinking, brother.
How's that?
I said I try to do the program without drinking.
Oh, I haven't had a drop.
But you're that. Well, hey. You're the Twain fan. A double-barreled detective story. And the
I read that so long ago.
But there's that one moment, that little thing that he tucks in. And in the far distance floated the esophagus on solitary wing.
Oh, that's almost like Salvador Dali.
Because then he explains the great amount of trouble that he caused by just putting by putting that phrase in there, the esophagus floating on solitary wing.
Oh my God, that's delicious.
It'll do you more harm than Fenimore Cooper's literary offenses did. You'll go read it after the program, and then you won't be all right.
No, I'll probably have to have an extra six pack of hernia mesh.
Well, you know, what I'd do is I wouldn't read it until I had a nice ice cold Caipirinha next to me.
You've had those?
Of course I have.
Oh, they're kind of like the Brazilian mint julep.
Well, I think of them as the Brazilian, what's the rum with the mint and the mojito? It's a Brazilian mojito.
Well, yeah, or mint julep. I was in Kentucky on company business for Inhumana.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the insurance company.
Yeah, right, yeah. The insurance
scam. So I was in Louisville. I love that place. Louisville is really cool. It's got a local rag that's free for everybody. It's kind of like liberal. And it's called the Leo. And I was really treated very well there. I went to a bar that had like three kinds of like different music in under one roof. You had like rock and roll, country, blues. Sorry. And I went to a bar.
Yeah, because nobody goes to jazz bars anymore.
No, it wasn't jazz. It was blues. And then I went to this blues bar called Stevie Ray's. It was named after Stevie Ray Vaughan. I think it was Muhammad Ali, the main drag over there.
Yeah.
Is it Muhammad Ali?
Yeah, I think it is.
And, you know, I've been living in Wisconsin forever, so I've assimilated, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans, and I've become kind of Scandinavified or Scandinav. You know, I've become kind of Nordized. And so in Wisconsin, we're kind of skittish about talking to people and, you know, being friendly and, you know. And I go right past the bar owner, this buxom blonde, who's cradling a little puppy in her bosom, and she said hi to me. She goes, and I go right past her, you know, and so I could sit near the band that was playing blues, and she goes, "You must think I'm crazy. I just said hi to you." And I'm like, "No, ma'am, I'm from Wisconsin. I'm not used to this." I've been living here too long, man.
Oh, or not long enough. I mean, it's six of one half dozen of another.
But I loved Louisville, though. I mean, I was really tickled pink. People there are really, really friendly. And then I was all dolled up in a suit to go to the Pink Palace, which is the Humana office building.
Well, I have a possum correction here. Devin notes, Flavio, actually, there are lots of possum bites. They are generally preceded by the words, "I think it's ouch," after picking it up by the tail.
Oh, God. So, no, I'm looking for this place because my manager, Alexis told me that there was a really good eatery. It was called, in Louisville, it's called the Bristol Bar and Grill, but it's not a bar and grill at all. It's actually a really fancy black tie kind of place, you know. So I was going there, and I walked up to these ladies, a black woman and a white woman, and they go, "Oh, we're going for lunch there. We'll take you there. You can tag along with us, you know." And it was really cool. I was like, wow, nobody's friendly like that in Madison. Crap.
It's a different kind of friendly, Flavio. It really is. Wisconsin's a different kind of friendly.
No, people are really, really skittish around here, though.
Well, maybe that's because of where you are, but I've never met any unfriendly Wisconsinians.
No, I'm not.
Then again, I've never met any Republican Wisconsinians, so yeah, maybe.
No, I mean, I'm just saying Madison is pretty weird that way. I mean, you have to know people, and in Louisville, it was like I was immediately just like gobbled up. I was like, wow, this is really cool.
Well, so, this has been a delightful conversation. I hope we don't get guns in Wisconsin higher education classrooms, but if I was a betting man, I'd bet the thing becomes law.
I hope not, man.
If you're lucky, it will occupy the Wisconsin legislature long enough to keep them from doing other hateful things.
If we're lucky. I mean, think of how sad that is. I mean, I've always loved going to the movies. Ever since I was a kid, I mean, I saw Cleopatra with Liz Taylor and the Ten Commandments in a drive-in theater in Brazil. That's when I first saw it. I saw it with my dad, and I really loved it. I mean, it was just the experience, the big screen, you know, the popcorn, the, you know. And now, you know, the other day I wanted to go see a comedy with a friend of mine. And I said, hey, we got a budget theater, $5 a pop. We got a budget theater downtown called the Rivoli. And there was Seth MacFarlane's comedy, Ted 2, came out. And I was there for a few weeks. And I said, hey, why don't we go and watch Ted 2? It's playing at the Rivoli.
Oh, and, see, you need to move to River Falls. Because River Falls has a movie theater where the tickets are $1 a piece and they're first-run films.
Oh, wow. No, you know, the Rivoli only played. But anyway, Ted 2 is playing, and I suggested to my friend, why don't we go and watch it? He said, nah, let's just rent it. I'm kind of skittish about going to movie theaters,
yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I thought about it. That's sad. That's freaking
Well, it's sad.
Sad,
but it's also murka. I mean, it is. I mean, this is where you live. This is where we live.
We live.
Yeah. I mean, it's frightening to go to a movie theater now. Everywhere in America is frightening because you don't know when you're going to run across some freedom protector who's having a bad day. I mean, remember the poor guy in Florida that got murdered for looking down at his phone screen and having his phone light up in the movie theater, and the seventy year old ex cop blew his brains out for it.
Yeah,
murka.
Yeah, I mean, this is insane. This is insanity. This is like, I really do hope things change, because I mean, oh, by the way, I have somebody like that lives in my building. That's that tweaked.
Okay. Ew.
And I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. I just... Oh, on a final note, on two final notes, I pray for this country, and I also pray for Canada. I guess...
Have we had any results yet?
No. My friend from Canada says we will know after midnight Eastern time, Toronto, Ottawa.
Well, see, if they had some video game voting machines, we'd already know. We'd have known 2 or 3 days ago.
Yeah, I know. I think she posted on her Facebook that it is by law that you get 3 hours. Your employer has to grant you 3 hours of free time so you can vote. And I wrote back to her, how about scheduling your, I use that pronunciation intentionally, scheduling your votes on holidays, or making a voting day a holiday like most of the civilized world does? How about that?
Yeah, never happened. You know why? Because making voting a national holiday, making elections a national holiday, would mean that we wanted people to actually go and vote. That's the Republican Party doesn't want that. Jesus God, they'd cease to be a real political party if everybody who had a right to vote was able to go and vote. Goddamn.
Yeah. So I'm praying for Canada tonight, and I'm staying up to scour the papers, and I'm also praying for the U.S. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I don't want Hillary to win the nomination, but I think she will. I don't want her to. That would just be a dynastic continuance. And I don't want that, but...
I try not to rely on things like dynasty, okay? Because dynasties sometimes produce good things, too. You get a bad one here, you get a good one there. I prefer to look at it from a policy standpoint. I prefer Senator Sanders' vision of a country in which we value our youth enough to say, you know, you need to be able to get all the education you want or need. And then one in which we say college should be made more affordable.
Absolutely. College should be, education should be free.
A right.
A human right.
By the way, we've got an
habitation.
And we've got an update coming in from Canada. Kelly, out toward the western end of the country, says, because of the way elections work here, the winner has already been chosen, but it is illegal to announce the winner until midnight. So far, the Liberals are doing very well. Aha.
That's very good.
And Michael in Madison says, man, whatever happened to don't take your guns to town? Did Johnny Cash and the country music world hate the Second Amendment, America, freedom, and liberty back in them days?
I love Johnny Cash.
Or would Mama's recommendation to young cowboy Billy have been different had he been heading off to Madison to do some book learning?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it says don't take your guns to town, not don't take your guns to college, son. Don't take your guns to college.
I love Johnny Cash.
Oh, I think I do, too. Well, Flavio, it's been a delightful conversation. I have enjoyed it immensely.
I apologize. I need to get motivated to call, and I need to have something to say, and so I listen more than talk.
Well, just so you'll know, you said you're praying for the results of the Canadian elections. Ron in the unfrozen north, on the other hand, says, I'm praying for Ted Cruz to be caught sitting on the throne at a cross-dressing gay bar, but that's just me.
Yes! That would be awesome!
Wouldn't it?
You take care, Bob. I love you.
All right. See you, Flavio. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Calling from Wisconsin, the one and only Flavio, he of the many languages and the multiple talents. And possums. Yeah. Ron also said, you know, we used to eat squirrels, rabbit, raccoon as a kid. I've seen too many possums crawl out of the carcass of a dead critter to ever seriously consider eating one, though. Yeah, squirrels, that's a different thing. Mmm, squirrel brain gravy. Oh! Under tooled leather. You betcha. And I don't recall this happening this early in the season before, but it may be a long winter. Because I was sitting here talking to, I don't know if it was Jim or Flavio. But I went, and damn it. My Otne Uteite Bray neighbor, whose house is down in a low place, but his chimney smoke comes up to about eye level with me, has apparently chosen the 19th day of February, Sparky's birthday, by the way,
to begin his annual winter ritual of burning coal in his fireplace. No, I'm not kidding. The coal stench would become pretty profound from time to time last winter, I recall, and the winter before that. And it's because he's not using a coal stove, which is bad enough. He's apparently throwing hunks of coal into his fireplace and setting them alight. Man, it stinks. So it's about 14 minutes before the hour. And we do, we have, did I not say October, Devin? Yeah, 19th day of October. Did I say November? Must have been wishful thinking. 19th day of October. And we have $87 to go to finish up Sparky's When I'm 64 birthday challenge this evening. $87. 10 at 8.7, 8.7 at 10, 4.35 at 20, 20 at 4.35, whatever, yeah. But hopefully that will happen. Of course, I never mentioned it, but if you prefer to operate via the U.S. Postal Service, the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. I must have said November. February. I said February? I'm really trying to get winter to an end. I said February. Everybody, where did that come from? If I'm not already drinking, I apparently should be. I said February. Damn. 19th day of October 2015. See, no, I just put those out there to see if you're paying attention. That's what it is. Hey, look, it's this evening's Hitler pool winner, Gerald. 656 it was. Yeah. Damn it. When are you going to get me the lottery numbers?
Sorry, no lottery numbers.
Bastard. What's up?
I thought I would, I don't know, help you through your struggle with the orange, yellowish cloud that.
It's in my yard!
I shouldn't laugh.
It's like something out of a goddamn horror movie.
You know what's funny is if you've never seen it, you really, it just can't be described.
Or if you've never smelled it.
Well, yeah, it definitely has its own smell.
I mean, it's sulfurous, putrid, sulfurish. But the weird thing is, it's not like, I mean, you know, the beginning of autumn, somebody lights their wood burning stove, and Gerald, you kind of go, "Oh, it must be autumn. I smell wood smoke." You know, because maybe there's some hickory in there or oak, something kind of aromatic.
Right.
And it can even, you know, smells can trigger memory, and then the next thing you know, you're remembering that time and that girl and the duck in Kansas City, but no. Coal? There ain't nothing romantic about it. It smells like death. It smells like oppression.
I would agree. But you do live in coal country, you know. But honestly, I mean, they're burning it in a fireplace, or is it like a wood, an insert?
No. I have it on good authority that he is putting lumps of coal in his fireplace and burning them.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine. How the hell would you sleep in that house?
Yeah.
I mean, really, just to be outside with it, it's horrid.
Well, I mean, it's I've got a headache, and it's running me out of the studio.
Well, I guarantee it. I mean, it's unscrubbed or anything. It's just pure raw coal. I can't even imagine that. I mean, it's bad enough. You know, I've lived in houses where the main source of heat was wood, wood stove or whatever, and that's bad enough. I mean, you get the dust and the soot, and it's just, you know, it's bad enough. I can't.
Is it any? I mean, is it any better with a pellet stove?
You know, I don't know. I've known people that had them. I've never actually been in a house that had a pellet stove.
I mean, as Devin points out, this is the smoke that Hugo Chavez described as following W. You know, brimstone.
Yeah, exactly.
West Virginia being West Virginia, there's every possibility that, you know, pills may also be involved.
Well, yeah, very possible. Very possible. It must be awful inside the house. I mean, just the fumes alone would be enough. I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. I mean, I heat with natural gas, and every cold spell, you know, about this time of year when we fire up the furnace, the forced air furnace, you get that burnt dust smell, which lasts for a few hours in the house.
Oh, but it's nasty as hell.
Yeah, but it's nothing like coal, though.
I know, but where's the dust coming from? It's gas, for God's sakes.
You know, I don't know. You know, I've even gone so far as taking an air tank up there with a blow nozzle and, like, blow it out, and it still does it. I guess it settles in the cold air returns or whatever, in the ducts.
Well, yeah. God only knows what it is if you're down in mountaintop removal country.
Well, I don't have that. But
no, I mean, you're not.
But, yeah. Oh, yeah, it would be bad. But from what I understand, there's nobody left anyway, so really, you know.
Well, that's what the coal companies say. Yeah, there's nobody down there.
Yeah, yeah.
We killed them all.
Well, that wouldn't be far from the truth. But, well, I just, we know that it's the official start of winter then, if your neighbors have fired up the coal fireplace.
Oh, dear God.
I guess they've got a pile of
Well, see,
outside.
I mean, I think I know why subconsciously I said February. Because February is going to be ungoddamn bearable.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this place is what it is. I mean, this is built in 1937. We've done what we can to weatherize it. I mean, it's not like I'm sitting here with the door open and the screen door flapping.
Right, right. Well, I don't think even a modern house, I don't think you could keep that out. Honestly, I'm... You could have a brand new home built right there, and it wouldn't matter, because that stuff is so putrid that it just it's just the. But I do feel for you. I understand, and I'm sure a lot of our friends here in the Appalachian area understand.
I mean, there are, but even in Appalachia, Gerald, there aren't that many people that are burning coal anymore.
That's true. And especially in the more urban areas, people probably don't even know what it smells like.
Well, there's probably neighborhood associations where it's freaking illegal.
Well, probably, yeah. Well, it's probably illegal there.
I'm going to have to bring this up at our next neighborhood board association meeting.
Well, yeah, I guess you're going to have to get the homeowners association president involved, and
and nobody likes that.
Yeah. I suppose they probably let their grass get 2.5 inches instead of 2 inches high.
And yeah, see, for instance, Devin uses one. It's a rice coal stove. I think he means nice coal stove. It only stinks for like 20 feet from the exhaust port and nothing at all in the house, but it uses anthracite.
Not bituminous. Right. Yeah. Two different animals there.
Yeah, exactly. This stuff is just vile and... It probably is. How could it not be illegal to just burn coal in your fireplace? You throw the logs on and then you get it going, and then you just throw on a couple of hunks of coal.
Yeah, you've definitely got to have something to get it going. I mean, you don't just stick a match to that shit like charcoal. It's not like match light.
Fact of the matter is, would smell better.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because that's just wood with lighter fluid in it. I bet there are some kind of regulations. Now, whether you could ever get them enforced or not, that would be something, you know, DEP come out, wow, we didn't find nothing.
No. Can you imagine the outrage? I mean, Thomas Fast would probably have a baby. Right, yeah. And right on the floor of the House of Delegates.
Yeah.
I mean, I was proud we were able to start Moran Monday with a Fayette County and.
I was.
That doesn't happen every day.
I missed most of the show. I was in a meeting. Getting back to the coal stove thing, you know, I think even the coal stoves that are, you know, to burn coal proper have some kind of catalytic converter thing on it.
Yeah, they do.
Because you can't just burn raw coal. Well, I mean, obviously you can, but because your neighbor's doing it. But, yeah, I mean, that's awful. That's terrible. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, because if I complain, he'll probably just point the chimney at me.
Yeah, I'm just a big fan. I better blow it towards your place.
Yeah, and Carol tells me there's no smell with a pellet stove at all. Because I've looked at a pellet stove. I've thought maybe that's the, yeah.
I had a buddy of mine that had one in his in a house. Actually, a house that he lived in but then sold. And he complained that it was just about as expensive as, you know, using fossil fuels like gas or.
Well, right, because the pellets have to be produced and you have to buy the pellets. And
yeah, he was going through like a ton a month, a ton of pellets.
Holy.
Yeah, or a pallet. I guess that's a ton. He wasn't very specific.
And how much is that stuff a ton?
I don't know. It's like $4 a bag. I don't know how heavy the bags are. Probably 50 pounds, maybe.
Well, and where do you keep a heap of it?
Well, on the back porch, I guess. Hell, I don't know. I don't have one of them.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
You know, I'm burning clean natural gas.
You burn clean natural gas, absolutely.
Not so clean. But.
Fracked right here in West Virginia, probably.
Oh, I'm sure it's local gas. Well, I mean, why would you ship it in? But no, but when the weather gets real cold here, my gas will go off. The line fills up with water out here. Then they have to call the gas company and they have to come out and purge the line.
You know, if you were feeling froggy, you could just put a little dryer on there with a little Prestone in it, and you'd be right as rain.
Well, when I lived in Roan County, we did that, but that was right off the wellhead.
Yeah.
The problem here is the moisture gets in the meter and it freezes the meter up. And then there's water. There must be a low place right in front of my house.
Well, that must be gas that's pretty nearly right off the wellhead.
Well, you know, I'm not real sure why it happens. It didn't start until a couple years ago. They, on the next street over, they replaced some line, and here I am. I'm the only one that ever has any problem with it. It'll be the coldest night of the year when it happens. But hey, you know.
Yeah. Freedom.
Right. Free market. Capitalism.
American energy independence.
That's right. Go us.
Yeah.
The greatest country in the world on earth forever.
Now, today, forever.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, today, forever. Okay.
Well, Gerald, have yourself a lovely evening. Thanks for ringing in. Congratulations again.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, 6:56. Well, I don't know how you do it.
What time was it?
6:56.
6:56. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I checked the list.
Okay, Bob. We'll talk
to you
later.
See you, Gerald. Bye now. Bye. Our buddy Gerald. Thanks, Obama. Didn't get a thanks, Obama out of it. Yeah. Didn't get a thanks, Obama out of Gerald. So that's Moran Monday, and hasn't it been a special one? Happy birthday again to Sparky. Hopefully before all is said and done, we'll get the last $87 in on his When I'm 64 challenge. Thank you very, very kindly, Sparky, and happy birthday. Thanks to all of you who support the program. Thanks to all of you who listen to the program, scream at the program, however it is you do it, either live, on the rerun stream, or via the podcast. Thank you. By the way, I've reached out to Stitcher to try to figure out what's going on there, but so far, nothing. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch,
crmw.net, and ACHECT, ACHECT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.